rights activists are calling for the trial of the architects of the Iraq War. They've called former US President George W. Bush and ex-British Premier Tony Blair war criminals for waging a war that was against public opinion and international law. A war critics say was based on lies and fabrications. You're watching The Debate.
We gonna hold right here.
Stop.
10 years on since the US-led invasion of Iraq, most Britons are still opposed to the devastating war. A recent online poll conducted in the UK shows that 53% of Britons believe that the decision to invade Iraq was wrong. 22% of Britons believe that Tony Blair must stand trial as a war criminal. They say the then British Premier Tony Blair deliberately misled Parliament and the public into the war. The poll was conducted ahead of the 10th anniversary of the Iraq War on March 20th. Back in 2003, the US and a number of its allies, including Britain, attacked Iraq without any mandate from the UN. Washington and London claimed that the invasion was aimed at destroying weapons of mass destruction that Iraq possessed. Separate investigations before and after the war found no evidence of WMDs in Iraq. In late 2011, the US officially declared the Iraq war over, but the most optimistic figures say tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians fell victim to years of occupation. And the Just Foreign Policy, a US-based group dedicated to reforming America's foreign policy, puts the Iraqi civilian toll at nearly 1.5 million. Facts on the ground also show that the invasion and the ensuing occupation worsened the security situation. The Iraq war also drew public disapproval internationally and has particularly seen rising discontent among both Americans and Britons. People in the US and the UK are mainly angry at the number of troop fatalities and the war's huge costs. Critics say the Iraq war has cost the US and the UK billions of dollars apiece. And a recent study says the actual cost for the US could exceed $6 trillion over the next four decades. The human cost of war has also been enormous. Over 4,800 foreign forces were killed in the Iraq war, most of them American. Despite the growing criticism, the main players behind the Iraq war, namely George W. Bush and his vice president Dick Cheney, as well as Tony Blair, insist that it was a right decision to launch the war. This comes as Bush and Blair have faced mounting calls to stand trial as war criminals, amid inquiries and reports that have questioned the legality of the invasion.
Political analyst Rodney Shakespeare is with us now on The Debate, live from London. I'd also like to welcome President of the Middle East Research Centre, Mr. Richard Hellman, with us live from Washington. Welcome to The Debate, gentlemen. My first question to our guest in London, Mr. Shakespeare. We're hearing that the war was launched in Iraq with a disregard for international and domestic public opinion and also international law. Would you call the Iraq war illegal?
Bush and Blair gave three reasons for the attack on Iraq. The first was that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There were none, so the reason was a lie. Secondly, they said that Saddam Hussein was in alliance with al-Qaeda. There was no linkage with al-Qaeda. That reason was a lie. And the third reason they gave was the biggest lie of all. They said it was to free Iraq. Now, viewers will not generally know that the first Governor General of Iraq was Jay Gardner, a nice man who wanted Iraq to be ruled by the Iraqis. The Americans got rid of him, and they appointed a vicious thug called Paul Bremer. Bremer introduced 100 Bremer orders, every one of which was an outrage. You just take anyone, take Order 39. It privatized all the industries. It handed over the ownership all to foreigners. Any remittances would be free of tax, and this would be in place for 40 years. In other words, the whole economy owned by foreigners for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Secondly, any foreigner would have complete immunity. An Iraqi man could be beaten up, a woman could be raped, complete immunity. Thirdly, USA officers were put in control of all the government ministries. Right. And take Order 81. It handed over the whole of Iraqi agriculture to Monsanto, and it wrecked the genetic heritage of all of Iraqi agriculture. Every one of those orders is an outrage, and I hope that Blair and Bush are prosecuted as war criminals.
Right, let's go to our guest in Washington, Mr. Hellman, on this as well. Now, Mr. Hellman, our guest there, Mr. Shakespeare, saying that the reasons cited were, of course, the allegations of weapons of mass destruction, also the issue of freeing Iraq and getting rid of Saddam Hussein, who they said were in collaboration with al-Qaeda. But those three reasons, he said, have now been discredited. What do you think about the reasons cited and whether they were discredited or not?
Well, I think that while I might agree that going to war 10 years ago in 2003, which I clearly remember, may have been the wrong answer to the right problem. But in fact, Saddam Hussein said he had weapons of mass destruction, and he did have chemical and biological weapons and missiles to deliver them. He had used them on the Kurds in the north of Iran, and he had used them on in the north of Iraq, and he had used them on Iran in the Iran-Iraq war. So he did indeed have weapons of mass destruction. He may even have had an embryonic nuclear weapons program that was moved to Syria. The jury's still out on that. And secondly, Saddam Hussein was a perpetrator of and a fosterer of terror. And last, the United States went in with good intentions, but you know what's paved with good intentions? The road to hell, as the proverb says. So yes, we could argue that Bush, Cheney, Bremer, and others made mistakes. But if mistakes were a pretext for legal prosecution, you could prosecute the whole British Empire for creating a fictional state of Iraq in the 1920s, as well as a fictional state of Jordan. And it perhaps is more profitable today, if I could conclude, to look at the destruction of 90,000 plus Syrians with the connivance of the regime in Tehran and others. And let's figure out how bloodletting today instead
Mr. Hellman,
of looking back.
Now, when you say that you think the mistakes were made there, well, I just put this question.
Policy mistakes.
Okay, Mr. Hellman, the question that you said there, you said that you know mistakes have been made, but the intentions were good. The question here is about the legality of the war as well, because it happened without the approval of the United Nations. What about that, the case of legality of this war? Mr. Hellman.
Well, with all due respect, the bloodletting by Bashar al-Assad in Syria today, with the open assistance of the International Revolutionary Guard Corps of the regime in Iran and others, is without any sanction from the UN. In fact, it's in contradiction to what's happening in the UN.
What about the Iraq war? Because that's the question we're raising here, Mr. Hellman.
International Criminal Court.
What about the Iraq war? The question here is the Iraq war.
No, it was not. No, it was not illegal. It was an unwise policy decision based on the best intelligence at the time.
Okay.
And that is not actionable at law.
Okay.
And no case will stand and be sustained for that, despite the political hype from the far left peaceniks, whether in the UK or in the US.
Okay, Mr. Shakespeare, let's have your view on this as well. I guess they're in Washington saying that it wasn't actually illegal. And he was referring to justifications that we'd also made by Mr. Blair himself. He said that I still believe it was right to remove Saddam. We sometimes forget what the regime was actually like. Hundreds of thousands of people died in his wars. Chemical weapons were used against his own people. Your response to that?
Well, first of all, Richard Hellman is deliberately repeating known lies and going off the subject because he can't answer on the key issues. They knew at the time there were no chemical or other mass weapons, and it was, in fact, the world was told a deliberate lie.
That's not
without any doubt, is known to be the situation. Secondly, just keep out of it, Hellman. Secondly, they knew at the time there was no linkage with Al-Qaeda. And Hellman keeps repeating these lies as like a propagandist at the time. And thirdly, he didn't dare answer the third point, which was that the USA went in there with the object of completely ripping off the whole of the Iraqi economy and to colonialize it, to pillage it. Richard Hellman daren't answer the truth, which is why
Untrue.
He went off about
Untrue.
Syria.
United
totally
States,
irrelevant.
United States
you can't
has
face
made,
up to the
United
facts,
States has
Hellman.
Made no profit
you are
from
one
your,
of the lying
Iraq.
Propagandists.
Okay, well, before we move on with this discussion, let's just look at one of the comments that have been
that
put
was
up on our Facebook page. We'll come back to you, gentlemen. But on what Mr. Shakespeare was saying, that we do have a similar comment from one of our Facebook viewers. We'll take a look at that comment and we'll come back with the debate.
I think they should be given life in prison without any chance of parole. But everyone knows that Blair and Bush are nothing but servants to corporate and financial elites. Iraq was attacked for the interests of private profit on Wall Street, and massive amounts of public money, American and Iraqi, went into private hands. Like almost all wars, the Iraq War was a big moneymaker for those that started it.
One of the comments that's been posted on our Facebook page. I'll put the next question to a guest in Washington, Mr. Hellman, and that is, a lot of people have been describing the war as a business enterprise for those who carried it out. Our guest, Mr. Shakespeare, referring to some aspects. What's your response to that?
I do not believe that the United States has profited from the Iraq War. Quite the opposite. It was a tremendous cost to our nation, on which ground, as well as other grounds, I could agree with you that it was an unwise decision. Not illegal, but unwise and unprofitable. But instead of looking back forensically and trying to redo policy mistakes of the past, we could look back at the leaders of the British Empire, who created the whole mess in the Middle East 90 and more years ago, and we could maybe prosecute them or their heirs,
right.
But that's unprofitable. Why not look at the regime in Tehran, which is fostering the death of 90,000 and growing number of Syrians, the injury of 250,000 and more, and
right.
the displacement of 1 million
Hellman,
and more,
if I can
with
just intervene
many
here,
starving, and the elimination
just
of
like
the Christian
to remind
faith
you, the
in
topic
Syria.
Of this program is the Iraq War. Of course, we do have programs on the Syria situation with yourself in the future
course.
And before. The topic of this
yes.
program is Iraq. But before we continue, let's go to Mr. Shakespeare
yes.
on this as well.
Good,
now,
good
Mr.
idea. I just think it's an unwise and fruitless exercise. Also, you will never make a legal case against rulers of country for unwise decisions. No one
yeah.
is going to do that, and it is not going to stand
right.
no matter what Shakespeare says.
Okay, so I see that both of you do agree, however, that mistakes were made in the Iraq War. But Mr. Shakespeare, we've seen the Chilcot Inquiry in the UK, we've seen probes take place, but do you think that the right rather decisions were made in these investigations, that the right kind of research and investigation was made, and whether we're going to see results from these investigations about these mistakes?
Look, that
never.
Hellman, who is a grinning ghoul, deliberately goes off the subject. And I will now go off the subject, Mr. Hellman, and ask you, why don't you consider the question of Israel having 300 atomic bombs? And will you kindly accept that all 16 American
Thank
intelligence
you,
agencies
sure.
say that
Thank
Iran
you,
is not
Thank
building
you very
a
much.
Bomb?
You
Thank
can't
you
very
answer
much.
That.
I'd love
you
to.
You can't. Well, you answer that then.
Thank you.
Go on
Thank
then.
Yes, I can. Thank you. Thank you, I will. Yeah.
Come on, all 300 atomic bombs in Israel.
If Israel has the nuclear weapons which are mentioned, then...
Don't lie, you know that it's got 300 bombs.
If Israel has the weapons which they haven't admitted yet, let's say...
Not if, it has got 300.
You want the answer or you want to shoot off your mouth? Be quiet a minute. Be quiet a minute.
Go on then.
You don't know, you've never been there. You know nothing about the country. I lived in Israel, I lived in Jerusalem, and I found that it was the only free democratic country in the Middle East. They let me, a Christian, not even a citizen, not even a Jew, vote for the mayor of Jerusalem. And that's more democracy than you'll find in Tehran or Damascus or any other Middle East capital. So we're waiting for the Arab Spring or even for Tehran regime to let free democracy spring forth.
Okay. It's more profitable. If I can jump in here, gentlemen,
to stop the bloodletting today.
It does look like
we are diverting from why all these nations.
Okay.
Why there were bad policy decisions in the past?
Okay, to get back on track, let's just take a look at one of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page, and we'll come back with the next question. Let's take a look.
George W. Bush and Tony Blair should face a serious trial in The Hague, having misled the world into believing that Iraq was in possession of weapons of mass destruction, and yet after the invasion, no weapon was found, and on the part of the Iraqis, there was monumental human destruction as a result of this invasion.
The issue of weapons of mass destruction raised there, and the issue of whether there needs to be a trial. A lot of people have been accusing Tony Blair and George Bush of being war criminals. I'll start with Mr. Hellman in Washington. Now, Mr. Hellman, do you think because there's been no evidence saying that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, that this at least warrants some kind of a trial or an investigation or a court to look into these issues or not?
Not at all. I don't believe it warrants a court or some kind of a further investigation. I'm convinced, and every sane body that has looked at these things has decided that the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, and others were acting on the best intelligence that they had at the time. If this was inadequate or if it was not a complete reason, I could agree that it was an unwise policy decision to launch into a war without proper preparation and with other preconditions not having been met. But not the International Court of Justice at The Hague and not the International Criminal Court or any other body is going to try world leaders for war because these are policy decisions. These are not crimes, regardless of what anyone might want to say for propaganda reasons.
Okay.
If anything, why don't we look at the carnage taking place in Syria today and ask why the regime
before we go into the Syria
in
issue
Tehran
again, let's just go to London
that.
On this. I'll come back to you, Mr. Hellman. Mr. Shakespeare, do you think that wars are policy decisions, as Mr. Hellman is saying there, and that's why talking about courts and investigations is just talking propaganda?
Mr. Hellman said that Bush and Blair acted in good faith. Now, if that was so, they should have no fear of a trial. But we know that they acted in bad faith, and it was a deliberate decision taken just after 9/11 to invade seven Islamic countries within 5 years. And they were going to invade Iraq, and they were going to make the evidence up. Now, that is why Hellman will not support a trial, because the fact of the matter is his case will be blown straight out of the water.
Right. Mr. Hellman, we know that Tony Blair, for instance, has been facing the Chilcot inquiry in the UK. We know that he's been under a lot of pressure. And there are a lot of issues that Mr. Chilcot there in the UK brought up and a lot of questions that still need answers. I mean, where can the people of these countries who attacked Iraq get those answers from? Don't they need answers?
I think all of the facts are out on the table. I think all of the issues have been more than thoroughly described and analyzed to a fairly well, but it still does not in any way justify the wild allegations of Shakespeare in London. He must be akin to the fiction writer of the other works of Shakespeare, because there was no plot after 9/11 to invade seven Islamic countries and so forth. I think that he has totally, he and his friends have totally spun this up. And just because some ideologues with a far-left pacifist agenda and an anti-West, anti-democratic agenda can make allegations does not mean that any court, any reliable court, national or international, is going to bring cases against elected world leaders who were acting on the best information and intelligence they had at a certain time. It's just not going to happen. And once again, I say it takes our eye off the very real threat of the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East, the continuing threat of Al-Qaeda, and the threat of the regime in Iran.
Well, this comes at a time
I'd just like to give a quote here. We're quickly running out of time, Mr. Holman.
Yeah,
I just want to refer to something. This is a huge distraction.
We're just out of time here. I'd just like to refer to a quote that we have. Stephen Hadley, Mr. Bush's Deputy National Security Advisor, saying that at a meeting between the Prime Minister, the British Prime Minister, and Mr. Bush a year before the invasion, Mr. Blair said that if it came to it, at the end of the day, he would be with America to move militarily against Saddam Hussein. Mr. Shakespeare, does that say to us that the decision to invade Iraq or to attack Iran was made at a much earlier date than has been announced?
Yes, I hope that Richard Hellman will not call General Wesley Clark a liar. He heard it from the Pentagon just after 9/11, and the seven countries included Iraq, Iran, Syria, and Libya. And that was to be done within 5 years. Thank you very much.
Mr. Rodney Shakespeare, political analyst with us there live from London. Thank you very much. A big thank you to our guest in Washington, President of the Middle East Research Center, Mr. Richard Hellman. We've run out of time for this edition of The Debate. Thank you so much for staying with us. From Michal Malesky and the rest of the team, until our next program, goodbye.